All right. Well, today is senior commissioning. Really, I know that we focus in on this group right here in the front row, but we have all been commissioned to go and to share the gospel with others. And so today, if you're here and you're like, hey, I'm not a senior, but I'm here to learn something from the word this morning, it's going to be here for you, but we are going to be able to focus in on our seniors. So this idea of commissioning, what does that mean, right? This idea of what does it look like to commission this next generation, right? This senior class. The idea of commission is that this is the preparation. There's something that's happened before the commissioning. In other words, there's been an equipping that's happened in their life that's come to a point where it's saying, okay, now remember all that you have been, that you have learned, and now it's time to be sent out. And we're going to send you out by praying over you and being with you during that time. And so today we're going to be taking a pause in our series on Mark. If you've been with us over the last few weeks, we've been working through the book of Mark, and today we're going to dive into Acts chapter 1. So if you want to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, and as we turn your Bibles there, we're going to be looking at some lessons that we can learn from the disciples as we look at the ascension of Christ in a time where they had been commissioned and now are having to go out and to live by faith of what God had said. So with that, let me pray for us, and we'll dive into our text this morning. So Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the time that we get to dive into your word. Lord, allow your word to be clear to us today. Would it challenge us? Would it encourage us? And God, would you remind us of the commission that you have given us to go and to make disciples today? So Father, we love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's read this together. We are in Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 6. It says, "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.'" Verse 9 says, "And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" What I love about these verses here starts in verse 6. It says, "So when they had come together," to give us context of where we're at in Scripture, there's a lot that's just happened over the last 40 days leading up to this exact time period in Acts chapter 1. Over the last 40 days, we've seen a lot of really key things that really pertain to our faith. We've seen the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have seen him come back and appear to Mary and Martha. He's appeared to the disciples. He's been walking with them for about 40 days now. Not only that, you know, in the end of Matthew, we see this great commission that he gives his disciples, right? To go and to make disciples of all nations. We're going to come back to this verse multiple times today because it so plays into exactly of what they're going into right now. And so when it says here, "So when they had come together," these are the disciples that are coming together with Jesus. And what they don't know, but what we know because we just read the passage, is that this is going to be the last time, the last question that they're going to be able to ask Jesus in the flesh. This is going to be like the last time that they get to see him, and we're going to see Jesus rise up into heaven, and then we're going to go, okay, where are the disciples going from now? And so that is the context of where we're at this morning, that they, when they had come together, they keep on asking this question. It says, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" Now, if you've been with us over the last few weeks as we've dove into the book of Mark, one of the things that we've been seeing is that Jesus has foretold his death, burial, and resurrection three times now, right? And all three times, the disciples have just missed it. They're like, "Well, I don't really understand what you're saying, but okay." And one of the things that has been in the disciples' minds over this time period is that they've been so focused on a physical kingdom. They think that Jesus has come to build this kingdom like Rome. In other words, that's why a few weeks ago we learned like they were fighting about who could sit to the right and left, who could have the authority really in that kingdom. And this is where Jesus corrected them and really talked about the idea that he has come to serve and not to be served. And so in all of this, we're seeing over these last 40 days, they're coming together and they keep asking this question of like, Lord, when are you gonna build this kingdom? When is it physically gonna be here? And we just see kind of this interesting idea of like, they're missing the point. They're missing the point that this isn't this physical kingdom that's going to be have boundaries around it, that's going to be in a certain landmass, but there is a spiritual kingdom that's going to have no bounds. There's a spiritual kingdom that has come that land and sea won't stop. And they haven't quite understood that yet, but they're about to, right? And so let's look at how Jesus responds here, because they're going, hey, God, like, when is it coming? I'm ready, right? We've seen a lot happen. When is it coming? And so I love Jesus' response here. He says to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And so what I love about this is that like Jesus doesn't give like this direct response to the disciples of like, hey, no, you're wrong, okay? But he kind of begins in this passage to change their perspective, to change their worldview, to change the idea of what they are expecting. And so he goes to going from a physical kingdom to the spiritual kingdom of like what they are going to be going towards. And so this verse of just talking about is not for you to know the time or the season the Father has fixed. Like this idea that, hey, you don't know when I'm gonna come back. And that is a very true verse. And I know recently that some of those things that have been popping up, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That right there is really interesting. Right here, because right after these verses in Acts, we actually see the disciples receive the Holy Spirit and the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. And this power is not something that's like, you know, the superhero kind of power. No, this power is the source that gives the disciples the ability to do all that God has called them to do. Like the reality is that we can't do these things on our own. There's nothing that we can do on our own of like, if I go and share the gospel with this person on my own, like it's just my own words. Like, yes, there's a lot of truth in that, but like God calls us with the power of the Holy Spirit to go and to share, and the reliance that I have or the reliance that you have on the Holy Spirit, that's gonna be a key aspect of this. And this is what you're gonna see as through the rest of the book of Acts, like when they rely on the Holy Spirit, miraculous things happen. Thousands of people come to know Christ, and there's no bounds and no language. Nothing is going to stop that. And so Jesus here is just foretelling this idea that, hey, there is power that's going to come to you here soon. And then he goes and says, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And so this is a verse, Acts 1:8, is one that most of you probably have memorized. It's been taught on a lot. And it's really a foundational verse, just like all the verses of Scripture we believe are. And so this, when it comes to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we see this idea that they, A, are going to receive this power, but 2, B, they are going to be God's witnesses. One of the unique things is that the disciples have been walking with Jesus for over 3 years now. They've seen the miraculous things happen. They've seen him be crucified. They've seen him be buried. They've seen him rise again. And now, as a second time, Jesus comes to them and saying, look, like you are going to be my mouthpiece to the world. And you're gonna start in your own hometown. You're gonna go back to Jerusalem, then you're gonna go to Samaria, then you're gonna go really to the end of the earth. And the way that he phrased it here, I love, because like there is nothing that is just, hey, you're only gonna stay in this one city. This idea of the end of the earth, it's gonna go everywhere. There's no bounds to it. So whether you're in a college an hour away or whether you're in another country all across the world, like, God here Jesus is calling his disciples to go and to be that his witness to all of them, all of the world. And so I got to think about this because remember, this is the last question that the disciples asked Jesus. The last question. So this is literally the last words that Jesus is sharing with his disciples. He's like, look, you're going to receive this power and you're going to be called to go and do this. And verse 9 gets really interesting. It's like kind of this like mic drop moment. And then when he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And I was just thinking, wow, what an amazing, amazing time. Like, can you see that? Can you see, hey, like I'm just envisioning like the disciples here with Jesus, just longing for more questions and trying. Jesus over these last 40 days have been just changing their perspective of like, it's not here and now, but it's the future and the kingdom is much greater than you think it is. And then all of a sudden Jesus like says these last things and just starts to rise up to levitate into the clouds and disappears. If you're having a hard time thinking about what that looks like, just think back about a month ago. There's something called a solar eclipse that thousands of people walked outside and just began to stare up into the moon and the sun all together with glasses, I hope. If not, your eyes are probably hurting right now. But this idea that I love it because it comes together and I just picture the disciples just looking up, just going, okay. Did you see that? Yeah. But because that was one of my favorite things about solar eclipse is like, it wasn't necessarily the eclipse happening. It was all the people around me that were just looking like this up in the air. That's the picture that the disciples are right now, right? Jesus ascends up into heaven and then like they're just staring there. They're staring there. The part that's, I think, important in this is like Jesus literally just told them to go. Right? The Great Commission wasn't too long ago. This right here, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and all the end of the earth. Like, they know what they're supposed to do, but they're just in awe about what just had happened. To the point that we see here in verses 10 and 11, that, and while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. Okay, these two angels have come down. They're next to these men, right? The disciples, and the disciples are still looking up. They're next to him with these white robes. And they said to him, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking in heaven? Like, hey guys, you there? And it goes into talking about how Jesus, who was taken up from you in heaven, will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven. So this idea of like, hey guys, it is time to go and do what you have been equipped to go and do. It is time for Jesus to ascend into heaven and for now you to have faith, right? The assurance of things unseen because now Jesus isn't with them and to walk in that and to go and to do exactly what they've been commanded to do. That's the moment that they're in, but they're so focused right now, just like that was amazing and now he's gone. And so the point of these angels coming down, nudging the disciples and saying, hey guys, it's time to go. It's time to go and do. It's time to now take up what you have been called to do. And then he also refers to it, how Jesus will come back and he's going to come back the same way in which he came. And so all of this comes down to just thinking through some points that we want to just kind of briefly talk about this morning. When it comes to the disciples and the book of Acts, we've been kind of putting a lot together here. One of the things I think would be really helpful for us as we begin to kind of look at some of these lessons is to look at, you know, the Great Commission. You know, when we think about the Great Commission, it's sad to say that, like, I was doing some research this last week, and the statistics on people that they did some research, Barna did some research on churchgoers and asked them if they had heard of the Great Commission and found that 42% of people said yes. 51% of them said no and 7% said not sure. And so they're asking people who basically are churchgoers, those who appear on Sundays at least, about this idea of what the Great Commission is. And that was their response. 42% of them said yes. And not even all 42% of them could even articulate what the Great Commission was. And so I want us to spend some time looking at that because it plays right into what Acts was talking about. And so let's look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 16. It says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" These verses are a command that Jesus gives to his disciples. These verses are also what God calls us as a disciple to go and do. And he doesn't, and what I love about this is he makes it clear his authority has come. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus here because he's the one who's talking. He says for us to go. Right? In Acts 1, chapter 8, it talks about how we are commissioned to go and be the witnesses of Christ because of his authority and to make disciples of all different nations. And so in this, I want to just take a minute and talk to our students for a second. You've been in church, most of you, as I look through this group, probably for almost 18 years now, if you're 18, right? Some of you are 17, none of you are 16. So but you've been in church for pretty much your whole life. And as you've been in church, a part of the goal of the church is for us to come around together to invest in you, to invest in this next generation. A part of what the Great Commission talks about is that teaching them to observe all that I have commanded, talking about Jesus has commanded. And so over these last 18 years, you have been challenged, you've been encouraged to grow in your faith. You've been challenged to dive into God's word and to understand it. And of course, the context of what it was written, but allow it to change your life. Allow it to make adjustments that you have in your life, saying, "Oh, well, I see this in scripture and now I've been challenged to this. Now it's time to change this." Or maybe you've been challenged to go and to do different things. But all it to say is that over these last 18 years, there's been a lot of investment that's been given to you. And my hope and my prayer that as we go forward, there's going to be a lot more investment that comes to you. So the investment of being able to receive things never ends, but there's a specific time right now where you're about to leave everything that you've ever known. Mom, dad, church family, going off to college, maybe some of you are even local or can come back. But the point is that there's a big transition that's about to happen. And just like what the disciples have said here, in not disciples, but what Jesus has said here in the Great Commission, but also in Acts, is that you are now called to be a witness of Christ. And guys, let's just be honest. We all have been called to be a witness of Christ. None of us are exempt of that. All of us have been called to do that. And so as we've been called to be this witness of Christ, some of these things that we need to just be remembered of. One of those things, like for high school seniors, is to get connected to a local church. As you've seen the value of that here, so many of us, the reason we come, of course, is Jesus, but we also love each other, don't we? We love each other. And so we love each other, we serve each other. And so as we kind of look at this idea of what it means to be commissioned as a witness is that there's been this great amount of investment that's been given to you. Now it's time, just like the disciples, when it's time that Jesus left in the ascension, to go, right? To do, to put to practice. And the thing is that you guys have been putting this to practice, as I've seen over these last few months even. So continue in that. Don't let this be a time where you get to college and you go, "All right, I don't know what to do now." Let this be a time where it goes, no, a part of my goal, yes, is to learn, is to study, but more importantly is to be a witness of Christ, to live my faith out. You know, some of the statistics that talk about, just for you guys and your sake, is that if you don't get connected to a church in the first 4 weeks, you miss the next 4 years. And so the first 4 weeks are vital for you. to get connected with other believers in your community. Just like us, like, right? If we spend time away from church, it becomes easier and easier to not come back, right? To not be a part of the body. So just like that, guys, it's part of what God is calling you to. And so, as we remember the Great Commission, as we remember the things that God has called us to do, we need to serve one another. We need to be a part of the mission of Christ. And then, for all of us that are in the room, we are commissioning our seniors to go out and to live their faith. But there's a reality that all of us have. If we've been saved by faith, right? Saved by grace through faith, then we have been called to go into our own city. We have been called to go to the surrounding states, right? The surrounding countries. We've been called to go to the end of the age. So how does that look? Well, it starts at home. We need to be living a life that is reflective, that when people come and talk to us, they know that we are followers of Christ. And we can do that by also being normal too, okay? But, yeah. So I'm saying that, like, it should be so much a part of us that it naturally flows out of us. And so as for us to go and to be called to do these things, like, we are on mission. And what I love about being here over the last 6 months is that I've seen a lot of that. I've seen how you love to serve one another. I see how you invite others to church. I see how you share your faith at your work while you're there. Let's just keep doing it. This is a command that God has called us. And so seniors, that's the other challenge for you to do as well. So what we're going to do here in the next little bit of time, I wanted to give a little bit more time for this, is that we're going to enter into a time where we are going to commission our senior class. And so what I'm going to do in just a minute is I'm going to have our students come and just stand in the front of the stage, and then I'm going to have their parents join them. And as I do that, one of the things I would love to do is I would love to look out and to really call those who have served in any kind of capacity when it comes to children's ministry, to hospitality, to student ministry, across the board. If you have seen these seniors and you've known these seniors, a part of what I want them to see is how many people has invested in them. And so, as I get them up here and as parents are surrounding them, we're going to go into a time of prayer where we pray for them in this next season. And so I'm going to have families doing that together, but instead of having people come forth and having a huge crowd at the, you know, front of the stage, I would love for you to reach out your arm and as your family praying for them as they go forth. All right, so that's what we're going to do here in the next little bit. And then what I'll do is as we kind of pray together, I'm going to conclude that time of prayer, and then I'll go through just some quick announcements for us and also commission us out as we go forth, okay? So seniors, if you will, just come stand, get some space out. Parents of our seniors, we want you to come forward and to be with them. And as siblings, you can come if you want to. So you don't have to stay on the stage. You can if you want to. But that's what we're going to do here as we kind of get together. So as they're coming forward, if you have served in any capacity over the last 18 years, right, and in children's ministry, in hospitality, and any of those areas, if you will, right now, go ahead and stand up as we get to begin our time of being able to pray together. So if you've seen them, if you know these students, if you've invested in them, we just want them to be able to see you out in the crowd. So students, as you look out right now, like, there are a lot more that are standing up. All of this is a picture of what the true church is. That it's not just about one generation. It's not just about your own peers or even your family's peers. What I love about seeing this is that there's multiple generations that have invested in you for many, many years. And that these people that have invested you for this many years love you. They care for you. And they will be here for you and be praying for you as you go out from here. So with that being said, what I would love is really for parents, for you to take some time and pray over your student. congregation, as they're doing that, we want you to pray over them. Think about the first 4 weeks that they're in college. Think about the new environment that they're going to be in. Like, pray for their protection.